What's up, everybody? It's Roger and James here from the Disney Kingdom Podcast. In this episode, we're going to do a bit of a retro look back at one of the classic Disney animated shorts, which is part of the Silly Symphonies, I can never pronounce that properly, series, which was Flowers and the Trees. So, James, I'll let you just kind of briefly let everyone in on what happens in this episode.
Yeah, and it's great we actually can tell them what happens in this episode, because the last couple of Mickey shorts we've done have just been kind of off the wall. So this one is, there are two trees, and they're in love, and nature is blooming, and mushrooms are popping out of the ground, and all this, and the flowers are singing and watering each other and all that. And then an evil tree comes along and tries to steal the girl tree. And she's like, no, I want none of that, so he starts a forest fire and it gets out of control and he burns down, but the rain saves all the other trees. And then his tree corpse starts sprouting other flowers and the circle of life continues and the girl tree and the boy tree get married. So yeah, that's the sanest Disney short that we've watched yet. And that's by no means sane at all. But yeah, it was fun. I mean, it made more sense than the other ones. It had a coherent story. And I think what was kind of interesting about it is you start to get a sense of where Walt Disney is going. And you can kind of see the genesis of like Fantasia building into this, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I love the art style as well, because it's quite bright and colorful. I think obviously Steamboat Willie, upcoming, we're going to have an episode coming out in the next couple of weeks about the Playing Crazy. So both of them are black and white. So this one was like the first one done that we originally looked at in color. So I think that does make a massive difference to how it's presented. I think as well, because of the trees being so green and the flowers and there's a lot of color coming out of the screen. And obviously at the time, this would have been major to actually have that on the screen, because there would have been so much black and white. All the movies would have been black and white, so it really would have popped off the screen for that. And you know, the artistic style, like you say, is a little bit more of a story from A to B. You know, there's a start, a middle, and an end. There's an antagonist. It's got more of the core elements of a traditional story. That's probably why it works much better as a short. You know, there's no voice acting or anything in it, and I think it does. I mean, obviously it worked, because we wouldn't be sat here all these years later talking about it and Disney and all the rest of it if this wasn't any good.
Yeah, but even with that in mind, I think we wouldn't be talking about it if it wasn't the first color one, like you said. Before this, all of them were in black and white. This was the first one to be done in Technicolor, which was the big thing, which is a three-color process as opposed to the four-color process that we eventually got used to. But even with that, you know, you get a sense of history to this. And it's not like the colors are bad or anything either. You can actually see there's depth, there's shading to them. There's a lot of techniques that are used nowadays. So the story might be kind of generic, and you can kind of just go, okay, Disney has, even in the 1930s, a story style. Like, yeah. Boy, girl, third boy who tries to steal girl from first boy, and then antics, and this is like a template they use for tons of their stories. But the fact that it's got that color coming in becomes a technological marvel, and now we're still talking about it, because I was just looking it up, and it's actually the 29th Silly Symphony. Yeah. You know, 28 of these before this that we're not going to talk about. Maybe the Skeleton Dance, which was the first one, but that's about it. The rest of these, I'm looking at the list, I've never even heard of. Yeah. And then there's another, like, it goes all the way up to 75, the last one being released in 1939. We're probably not going to talk about more than this one and the Skeleton Dance, simply because they're historical artifacts rather than cinematic masterpieces.
Yeah.
You know? So, I mean, I'm making it sound like a very negative thing. It's actually a lot of fun, and it's worth watching just to see that evolution from black and white to the three color process. But yeah, don't expect it to be like, you know, the the greatest Walt Disney story ever told kind of thing. No, yeah. It's trees dancing and catching on fire and then dancing some more. It really could, they could have stuck it into Fantasia and you probably wouldn't even have noticed. So
no, I mean, I think as well as like the music, cause it's kind of got that classical vibe to it. And you can see where it was building up to Fantasia, but also the way that the animals move and stuff, you know, that kind of style stuck with them for so long. And even to the movies and stuff today, you don't quite get it quite so much now, but you know, you get that like look of that style, and you can see where all of these silly symphony shows were building on that. They were, it's basically the practice, you know, they were, I mean, and we look at back and now, oh, they were practicing for the movies. But at the time they were, no, these were called, they needed to do this to stay afloat. This was their primary output. It's just that Walt didn't want to do shorts. He wanted to do proper movies. He was that thing of being obsessed with the idea of having a proper movie. He didn't want to be just the short before the movie that the people went. He wanted to be the movie. And I think this one worked very well. I mean, you know, the animals coming in, you know, you got the birds coming down for the rain and the little fires jumping around and all of that there, you can see all these little elements building. And this is a pleasant little cartoon to watch. Yeah. I mean, it'd be hard to know what a kid looking at it now would look at this and be, they probably would find it very, they just wouldn't find it as in. Maybe for us, even though we, you know, growing up in the 80s, we still were being shown old-fashioned cartoons even then. You know, we were used to stuff in the 50s and the 60s because there wasn't as much available as there is now. You know, everything CGI and all the rest of it. And arguably, I'd rather sit through the silly symphonies than watch some of the CGI animated shows that are on the Disney, on some of these like Nicktoons and stuff now, which are they're cheaply made. They're, some of them are, you know, they're done on the cheap, whereas this stuff has got something, so much more detail and stuff into it.
Yeah, I mean, there's definitely that factor to it. The hand-drawn animation tends to have more detail, but as Pixar has shown us, when you put the story first, the technology behind how you tell the story doesn't really matter quite as much, but you know, that's going to be true of anything. And yeah, it's also important to remember at the time that this came out, you know, there was probably a lot of very junky cartoons and shorts in front of movies too, that we just don't remember because they were so terrible. You know, this one survives primarily because of the Disney name and also primarily because of the Technicolor bit. But yeah, I grew up watching and not quite this old, but you know, the Bugs Bunny cartoons, the Tom and Jerry, from that side of the fence, and then also, you know, Chip and Dale and Donald Duck, mostly stuff I haven't actually looked it up, but we're probably talking 60s and 70s stuff. But the other thing is, of course, in the modern day, we've got Netflix and Hulu and soon the Disney streaming app and all this fun stuff. And back then, even in the 80s, you either caught it on television because it was a rerun, which wasn't that frequent, or you went down to your local video store and you rented a VHS, which might have like 8 or 9 or 10 of these on it. And that'd be how you'd watch it. So,
yeah, I also wonder, I'm sure that with, because when I saw this one, it was like, I've seen this before a number of occasions, and I'm wondering if they, because Disney were very good at repackaging old stuff, putting it in with the newer stuff, and selling it as a short, you know, like a 15, 20 minute short. And I'm wondering if that's where I might have even seen it while I was on, like, watching, like, Have a Laugh. You know, that was a series that they ran of classic stuff, you know, at the theme park. This one was the one I instantly saw it and was like, yeah, I've seen this before. You know, this is, you say, you know, an 70, 80-year-old cartoon, and I have seen this before. It wasn't like it was, because sometimes you sort of go, oh yeah, I remember these bits, but it's like, no, I distinctively remember. But there, again, because this is color, this would have been a lot easier for them to put on television years later. I just think, okay. I think anything black and white, just, I don't think TV presented or anything in television for the last 40 years really wanted anything to do with anything black and white. Other than, it's quite bad now when I think, you know, growing up watching things like The Monsters and stuff that were in black and white, it's just like, you know, it feels so, so old now.
Yeah, but there's still, as long as the comedy was timeless, you know, not like, say, Family Guy comedy, which is very much, you know, this is cultural reference to right now. South Park is very cultural reference to right now. Whereas the Munsters or the original Addams Family or, you know, these cartoons, the Silly Symphonies generally relied on more classic comedy, and they hold up. That you can continue to watch them, and the comedy for the most part still holds through because the same things that were funny then are funny now. To talk on your point, I don't think I had ever seen this entire clip before, or the whole 8 minutes before, but I know I had seen parts of it.
Yeah.
And I'm sure a lot of that was simply documentaries where they're talking about, and in 1930, don't have the number right now, 32, Walt Disney released the first Technicolor cartoon. And then in 1937, they had the Snow White and all that stuff. So they'll always have that little clip of, you know, the trees kind of shaking back and forth and doing the little dance or whatever. But I don't think I'd ever watched the whole thing all the way through.
No, but this is kind of some of the great things sometimes of going back and looking at some of these older bits and pieces. But if you've seen it, or if you haven't already seen it, go check it out. You'll find it on YouTube very easily. And definitely let us know in the comments below. Go check us out over at DizKingdom.com. You can also go check out James. Where can they find you?
You find me at HeroicLegacy.com.
And on that note, guys, thank you very much for joining us. We'll be back soon. Laters.
Later.